Thank you for taking time to listen to this message from the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection. We hope you find it meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any of our 4 locations in the Kansas City area. You may also worship with us live online every Sunday at either 10:45 a.m. or 5 p.m. Central Time. Simply go to www.rezonline.org. Rebroadcast of the entire worship service are also online each day of the week. To honor all copyright restrictions, we may have removed some audio elements from this message. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
Will you please rise for the reading of Scripture? Our passage today is from the Gospel of Matthew. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of Scripture. You may be seated.
Invite you to take out your GPS guides that you might be able to follow along as we go through the sermon this evening and maybe find some things or some nuggets that would be a blessing to you and that you'd be able to think about and pray, ponder as the week goes through, that they might truly dwell in your heart and help bring glory to God. Now, as we begin our study of the mustard seed, I wanted to have a little fun first. Because as we think about mustard in our lives, and we're all probably bent out to Royals and smeared some mustard on some hot dogs and all, we know that there's lots of fun to be had as we think about mustard. And I just wanted to see how some young people have fun with mustard. Take a look. Now, that is no child from Resurrection. I do not believe there's anyone here that would do that. But as we start our study about a mustard, I want us to just think about the pungent little seed that we have. Now, I would bet you that if I asked you a trivia question about mustard, you may not be able to give me this answer. But if you were able to tell me where mustard comes from, besides the little yellow jar in your refrigerator, where would that be? Well, actually, mustard is grown not on the wheat fields or in the fields of Kansas, because we're used to seeing wheat fields, of course, this time of year, but it likes cooler climate. And 85% of the mustard that is grown in Montana, North Dakota, or Canada. And the plants, they like this cooler climate, and it is actually the third most important spice in the whole world after salt and pepper. Mustard seeds and leaves have been used really as medicinal purposes, and even as early as 4 to 5,000 BC in the Bronze Age, there's remnants of how in that time in China they were using it even then. The earliest Greeks and the Egyptians used it as medicinal purposes, and they had it as a time when they would use it for preservatives and even for something that would tenderize their meat. So they knew what mustard was actually supposed to be best for. And then in medieval times, the monasteries is where you would find the mustard grown. And those monasteries, those monks, brought it to America. The first mustard that we see growing was in the Napa Valley when the Spaniards landed there. And still, you'll see beautiful fields of mustard seeds there even now. And so as we think about it, we know that somehow mustard has been with us for a while and has some very importance for our daily lives besides just the good, healthy way that we eat it every day. Now, let's go to what mustard means in the scriptures. Mustard, the mustard seed especially, is used over 200 times in the text. And you will find that many times it is used to be able to show how God will use something so very small, like a mustard seed, that it would grow into something very significant in a person's life. And as we think about the little mustard, we want to think about, too, how it is pungent in some respects. And there's reason that it was used because of the taste. There's something about what was being said with a very pungent way that the scripture text is using it. Jesus used the mustard seed to be able to talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that means in just a minute. But if you have your Bible or even that GPS guide, just look on there because we're going to read it one more time and take it apart before we dig deep now. And the parable reads like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. So the things I want to first start with is to be clear that in that very first part, there's this where it's saying that someone, a person, a farmer, sowed the seed. And that's an important part for us to remember, especially as Methodists, because we're not Calvinists. These mustard seeds that come in our lives and they are sown, they are part of what happens in our life. They are pungent sometimes, and they really can be, in a sense, a little bit stinky at times. But the mustard seeds that are sown are part of what happens in life. And we have to remember that as we think about, as we go on and think more deeply about what happens to those mustard seeds. And then the second thing I want to really lift up, and I'm going to talk more about it, is who are these birds that the scripture text talks about? And we're going to really dig deep into the scripture on the second half of the sermon and figure out who the birds are in that part of the scripture. So our task in talking about all of these parables is to really look at them too in a block. Because if you look at all those parables in, like, say, the 12th chapter of Matthew, clear through, like, the 15th, what you will see is that Jesus is talking a lot about the things that we would know, the things of the agrarian life, the agricultural life, because he lived in a time and place when the people really were in a very agriculture area. And so you will hear these words, soil, wheat, weeds, sowers, vineyards, lost sheep, and wineskins. And important to note, too, in these parables is that they are ever so complex, and you have to little dig a little bit at each of those little words in a sense. But when you see the complexity, the simpleness, and yet they are so complex for all of us. And for each of our life situations, every time you read it, you will find something new. And so today, as we think about the parables, I want you to think about the seeds that have fallen in your own life. What seeds have been dropped in your life that you can make sense of? So now, let's look at the parable more closely as Christ is saying and talking to us about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. This term, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it's used so many times, especially in Matthew. You will find that scripture really leans into that. And it's so important that we kind of dig at that a little bit, because what it's trying to say here, especially as it talks about the seeds, is that there is something that can grow in our life. Even when pungent things fall into our life, God can make good. And the kingdom of God can come in our lives even when we don't understand what is happening. And there can be great growth, and so much so that first the little plants will grow, and then they'll be almost so big that you could call them a tree, and that even the birds of the air. But this kingdom of God will come to us even out of the most pungent seeds that are dropped into our life. And one of the words that I noticed in the commentaries that I had not really noticed before was this phrase called kingdom character. Now, kingdom character is the way that we develop into disciples. When we start praying about the seeds that are dropped into our lives and we keep thinking, God, what will you have me do with this situation? Then the kingdom characteristics start developing in our life, like love and patience and all those characteristics and those virtues, those higher virtues. Now, as we think about the children in our congregation today, I want you to think about maybe a teacher or a coach who really was just so important to your life. And for all of us as adults, too, we had important teachers and adults that we think about had really planted seeds in our lives. And some of them made a big impact, and some of them were not so good, right? One of my teachers as a first grader, first and second grades, this little lady, she was really tough. And, you know, if we weren't behaving, what she would have us do is we would hold out our knuckles, and she would come along with her ruler and whack us all over the hands with our knuckles. Now, I'm sure you all children out there don't have to worry about that anymore. Wouldn't happen, right? But she would also, she really, something was boiling in her, and she would call some of the children stupid at times. When I think of the seeds that she was planting in people, really it was seeds of fear and seeds of a lack of confidence that even as adults, we would go back and have our class reunions and we would still remember the seeds that she planted. And yet there was another teacher that we all loved. His name was Mr. Fair, and he was actually an immigrant from Syria. Came all the way over here, and he became an American citizen, he and his young wife and little child. And the thing that we loved about Mr. Farah is that he knew the American Constitution like nobody that we knew in Western Kansas, because for him, becoming an American citizen meant everything. And he was able to help us learn how important the preamble was and the Declaration of Independence and then what the Constitution and the civics meant. He was putting within us seeds of great gratitude of what it meant to be an American citizen and how we should never take that for granted. And he was also planting within us just these wonderful seeds of how great it was to really understand that we lived in a big world, and he was from Syria, someone far away, and that there was a big world out there for us to have as adventure. Now, when you think about all of the seeds that are planted in our life, it's important to try to unpack them. And one of the ways that we can do this, and I loved a book that I read this summer, and I want to share some of the nuggets and the things that I learned about how to unpack seeds, is a book called The Road to Character, written by David Brooks. And Mr. Brooks starts the book by explaining that he is writing the book to save his soul. Right there, he hooked me. And I wanted to know exactly, what exactly is he trying to say here? But what he does here is that he takes important historical people and some that are not so much historical, and he tries to unpack their lives and help you see exactly what has led them to greatness. Now, this isn't exactly greatness like the Donald Trump kind of greatness, you know, where you think about money and that kind of success, but it is the greatness that is held up in the eulogies of our life. Those great virtues, if you will, such as love, compassion, patience, justice, and peace. And one person that he highlights that I thought was appropriate for us to talk about tonight, especially being 4th of July, is Dwight D. Eisenhower. And he was our 34th president, started humble beginnings in Abilene, Kansas, where he grew up. And although you may think he had sort of an idyllic life, it was really a pretty harsh environment out there in Abilene at that time. But very important to the chapter about Eisenhower was all of that which he talks about his mother. His mother, Ida, was such an important figure in his life, and she really prepared him and dropped seeds in his life that were important. He says this about his mother. He said, "She was one of the finest persons I have ever met, as she raised five boys in a house of about 833 square feet." And that's about the size of some of our living rooms and kitchens together. All of the boys would go on to remarkable success. Now, Ida, it sounds like she was a devoted, warm, wonderful Christian. They read the Bible every day in their home. And the important characteristics that she laid in their lives was thrift, self-discipline, a work ethic, and a hunger for education, so that all of these boys went on to live great lives. Unlike Ida, the father had his issues, and even there was even a part of his life where the father abandoned the family and then came back later. But that was a seed that was planted in Eisenhower that he had to deal with too. But one very important piece that I think you might be interested in is that Eisenhower, as a little boy and in high school and even in military school, he had a real anger issue. Now, who would guess this? But the story goes that when he was about 10 years old, he was just really trying to deal with all of his emotions. And it was Halloween, and he went out. He wanted to go out with his siblings and go trick-or-treating. And his parents said, absolutely not. He was the youngest, and he was not going to go. And he just began to throw a fit. Apparently, he laid on the floor and turned all red and was beating his fist. And then he ran outside and he began to beat his fist against a cherry tree until they were bloody and bruised and was really just a screaming out there. And finally, his father went outside with a hickory stick. And of course, he had his issues too. And he began to beat Eisenhower with a hickory stick until then he sent him up to bed. Well, the story goes then that in about an hour, Mother Ida came up with salve and bandages, and she created a space of grace, and she began to talk to Eisenhower about all the things that burned within him. And she said, "Of all my children, you have the most to do to really understand your emotions, and that you have the most to do to truly understand and be self-aware." Now, what she was doing there was planting seeds. And Ike said in his memoirs that it was one of the most important conversations of his entire life when she was talking to him. The author writes, David Brooks, in the book, he says that the concept of conquering your own soul is based on the idea that we are dual in nature. We are fallen, sinful, selfish, deceiving, and self-deceiving. But we have another side to our nature that is in God's image, and that seeks transcendence and virtue. Now, also key to Eisenhower's growing up years and the seeds that were planted in him was when he lost one of his brothers to death. And then when even in his adult years, he lost a child, he and his wife lost a child. And our author, David Brooks, says that someone should write a history of people who have lost children and how it shapes their lives, because Eisenhower said it really was just an enormous amount of impact on their life. And then lastly, one very important thing that came to pass after Eisenhower was in his 40s. Until his 40s, he essentially was a good guy, but nothing extraordinary. You know, not probably thinking he was going to be president by any means. But something happened when he was 40 that turned the trajectory of his life. And that was when he was linked to General Douglas MacArthur. And he became MacArthur's personal assistant for 7 years. Now, the kicker here is that he did not like MacArthur at all. In fact, it was really just something that he tried time and time again to be released from the service. And actually, the author, David Brooks, says that MacArthur was somewhat of an egomaniac and demanded. Well, this is where probably Mother Ida's talk came into Eisenhower's mind because he had to adjust and adjust and adjust to what was being demanded of him. And it created a space within him where he understood that he really had to be becoming something more than he was. Well, we know that really this perfect school that he was in prepared him for the next chapter of his life, where he could be for us then someone who had remarkable poise. You know, as a child, I never thought Eisenhower was anything but just completely level-headed and poised. But it was the work of through all of these seeds that were planted in his life. So I would ask you, who has been your MacArthur? Who has been your mother, Ida? All of these seeds that are planted in our lives where we learn the discipline of self-control, or someone comes to us and creates a space of grace. Now, the author of this book, David Brooks, he says that there are important things about all these characters that are really common as they go to greatness. And I want to share three of those things. He said, first of all, that humility leads to wisdom. And what this means is that we have to understand how self-centered we are. And at some point, we begin to strive for that spirit of humility, which he says comes out of confronting our flawed nature. And then secondly, he says that we have these major, crucible events in our lives. We all have them, right? Those seeds are planted out of those major, crucible events. They change our lives and make us better, or they break us, essentially. And then third, all of the greats that Brooks speaks about in the book, there is someone who comes to them, or a time when grace is created. Someone creates a space of grace for them, or they quiet themselves enough that they can begin to think clearly about all of these things that are happening in their life. Now, I want us to go back to our mustard seed again. I want us to talk a little bit about the birds, because I want us to ask the question, who are these birds in this verse of scripture? You know, after we have the seedling and then it begins to have the plant and then the branches that grow, Jesus is trying to tell us that this particular, there's these characters that come to live in the branches, and these birds, they find support, fruit, and protection. Now, my real-life illustration of this is found in the life and the story of Jonathan Smith. Jonathan and his parents were members here for ever so long, and he was just 34 when he died this past year of brain cancer. He was the son of Terry Smith and Debbie Smith's stepmother. Also, Terry and Debbie are two of our great CCMs, our congregational care ministers here at Resurrection. But Jonathan's cancer started nearly 10 years ago now, and I can remember so very well when he was diagnosed that we all gathered, all of those who knew Jonathan, we gathered in Wesley Chapel, and we had a service of anointing and prayer for him before he flew off for his first surgery at Duke. And after that, then he had treatments, and you know, it seemed like he was beating it. And there were many weeks, days, months, years even, when he beat it back and forth, and then it would come again, and he would have to have more treatment or surgeries. But during this time, he was employed down at State Street, one of the financial institutions downtown. And he became somewhat of a hero to the people, the young people there, and actually he became a hero to many of us who knew him, but especially to some of the people who knew him, and that out of the seed that had been planted in his life, there became the kingdom of God began to show fruit, because his faith did not ever seem to waver, and he always seemed to be full of joy, and he would always be able somehow to just have the strength to come and be of great cheer, and was able to always lift us up, it seemed. But what happened was that all of these young people, they represent the birds in that scripture. the young people as well as even myself. I would consider myself have been one of those birds because it was really in that time that we were all following and understanding faith in the kingdom of God as it was showing up in his life. He married Katina, who also worked at State Street, and then adopted her 10-year-old son, Andreas. And for a short time, their marriage was just so ever idyllic, and they had this wonderful time for a short time, and all of a sudden, the cancer came back, and he could not beat it. And on the day of his service, there was 100 or more of those young people that showed up from State Street. And I remember looking over in Wesley Chapel, and there was this great big section of them who were all there to be able to give glory and greater understanding. And there were those that were watching online. And we all actually wore these bands that said, "The Journey, Live, Love, Trust in God." And they're still actually making these and being able to remember Jonathan down at State Street. But the seeds of cancer that came to him was what happens sometimes to us in life. But Jonathan, he was able to grow what happened in life into something beautiful, and it became such an amazing plant, and so much so that those who began to nest around him, if you will, these birds, we really began to understand what the kingdom of God looks like when our faith can grow. Now, as we close, I want us to look and think about all of the mustard seeds that have landed in our lives, because we've all had them, these life-altering kinds of situations. For me, I'm going to tell you about a time in my life was about 7 years worth of things that happened very quickly. But the first thing that I want to share with you was a time and something that was planted within us. There was the death of a dear college friend. His name was Randy. And when we were going through college, Randy was president of Les's fraternity for a while, and we all loved Randy. You know, he was kind of just this absolutely dreamboat kind of guy, and all of us girls, we wanted to set Randy up, and Les and I, we'd set Randy up, and we'd go out on a date, and we'd think, okay, this is the perfect one, you know, and about 6 weeks later, Randy would say, you know, no, I don't think so, and this would go on, you know, and it would just somehow, we would just keep thinking someone is going to be the right person for Randy. Well, what happened was after our college years and Randy had graduated, all that class of men, Randy came out as a gay man. And he went back to this little town in Kansas. And at that point, there was no understanding. There was no one to give acceptance or love or even to process with or help him understand what was going on in his life. And so what happened was that in the moment of darkness, Randy took his own life. And it was that mustard seed that for many of us, we began to process and think about, and how does this work out in life? And so that was one mustard seed. But shortly after this, there was this wonderful boy that had been in my life since I was born and actually just lived 2 miles from me. And we grew up together. He actually gave me my first Cracker Jack ring out behind the little Methodist church there in Kansas and gave me my first little kiss at the same time. And then we went to the prom together. He was my first date to the prom and actually gave me my first real kiss too. But after we got done with high school, Don married the actual love of his life, Pam, and then as life would have it, he was tempted and he had an affair. And back there in Western Kansas, there was no one to process, no pastor knocking on his door because he was unchurched essentially. And at that time, the whole family went into a dark despair. And Pam, his wife, took her life. And then about 3 months later, in just absolute despair, because again, there was no counseling, no help with all of that, Don took his life. All of that shook my life to the very core. I mean, it was like I don't know how to deal with this. And so, you know, we began to think, how can we process this? And we began to talk to our friends and try to get counseling and think about, what do we do with these kinds of events in our life? About that same time, all four of my grandparents died, and these were the rocks in my life ever since I grew up. They were 2 miles on either side of me. And then during that same time, I was a young physical therapist working in the VA, and so I got to know these wonderful World War II vets, that really the seeds of their life and the stories that they were able to plant in me were just telling me the important messages about what had happened to them. And then the Vietnam vets that were coming home and their issues and the debilitations that they had, and being able to understand that somehow all of the things that they were struggling with were a part of the struggles of our generation. All of these seeds that were being planted in me, all of these beautiful lives and then their deaths, began to plant seeds within me that I know God was able to use. That someday, at some point, I would be able to say, here I am, God. Use me, take my life, and help me be somehow a shepherd to people. And so it is that whenever I run into church every day, it is a great day of ministry to sit with a family who is hurting and maybe possibly are going through a time of despair. Because it is out of the seeds of those lives, hopefully, there's kingdom that can be built. There's hope to be given. And there is salvation messages that can be said. We can make it through these times, and there is life eternal for all. Now, as we wrap up, I want you to consider carefully those crucible moments of your lives. The moments in your life when you had seeds put into the earth and you cannot figure them out, and you think, somehow, God, help me figure out what you would do with all of this. Because we've all had these points. It might be for you that somehow there was a difficult diagnosis, maybe so many deaths. Perhaps you had a MacArthur in your life. Perhaps you had a Mother Ida who brought grace that was amazing and was an amazing seed in that regard. But you also might have had a time when you really understood that God was working with you and you could not find your way. And God was using that seed somehow to help you. As we wrap up, I want you to ponder the seeds of your life that truly God might be able to be glorifying and planting something wonderful within you to help you heal. As we look at again the last scripture, I want you to see this video, this DVD, that you might pray that all those mustard seeds might truly be a blessing somehow. Take a look. Praise God for the mustard seed in our life. With that in mind, let's pray. Oh, gracious, holy God, we are ever so grateful for each and every mustard seed that has been dropped into our lives. God, we would open ourselves up to you in this moment of prayer and ask that, in beseeching you, that you would help us make sense of all of those seeds of our lives, those life-altering moments when we may have been so broken and we may have been questioning, as well as those seeds when someone provided a space of grace for us just to be able to grow and to know that there's hope. So God, we just ask that with all of those seeds, that they would grow and that they would become somehow so beautiful and so much of use to you that somehow the kingdom of God will come even in our own lives. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.